Thank you, Pastor. It's an honor, actually, to be here, and it's a humbling experience, and I'm really honored. And what I really want to do is I want to lift the Lord up, and it's all because of him. And I want each one of you to know, too, that each one of you can not be afraid to preach the gospel message and to honor the Lord in any way that you can. What I'd like you to do is turn to Luke chapter 1. And the message I have today, it's called The Christmas Gift. And what I want to do is go through it and take your time reading it, because I found myself when I was reading it that there's always an underlying thing. The Lord is always using like typology. He's given us through the Holy Spirit the ability to see it through the lens of the Spirit. And we know that as we go through all of his scriptures, that maybe at a time that it was said in the first place, or it might be an incident that happened, that it's tied into something else. And we know that he reveals it in his good time. And I was reading this, and I call it The Christmas Gift, and I was able to see that the gospel message is always in all of his writing, and we see it. It's more of a deeper thing. So what I'll do is we'll take it from the top here, and if you guys could just, again, try to look at it from that other point of view, and we'll walk through it. Luke chapter 1, and I want you to start at 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and the kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God." And just skip down to verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the message that you've given us tonight, and we want to honor you tonight with it. We know that if you're not here, the message won't have the power that it needs to have. Lord, send your Holy Spirit into the hearts of everyone here that they're shown what they need to hear. Lord, and anybody that's online that may or may not know you, Lord, use this time to shine your light of understanding on them, Lord, as you've done to us here, and bring us along your journey and show us what you want us to see. And again, during this Christmas season, Lord, we really want to honor you because you were born, and it's because of this salvation was given here. And we thank you in Jesus' name. If I can get you to turn to Exodus chapter number 12, what I want to go through is what I was saying earlier about typology and seeing things through the biblical lens. If you go to Exodus chapter number 12, and I just want to give an example here. It's verse number 5, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two posts, the two side posts, and the upper door posts of the house, wherein ye shall eat it. Therefore I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be on you for a token upon the house where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plagues shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land." I'm sure we've read this verse many times, and as I was saying, looking at through the spiritual lens of typology, we know that this is a picture of Christ. We know that that lamb is the Lamb of God. Yes. And so at the time when this was written, they did not know that. Mm. And so The Lord reveals things through time, and we see that the blood was the shed blood of His.
Yes.
We know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Mm-hmm. We show that it's on the post and the top, so we are under the blood.
Amen.
So if you accept Jesus, you're under His blood.
Good.
And that way, the angel of death passed over to not kill the firstborn, but in a sense, the second death has no part on us.
Right.
And that is that picture. And the Lord shows that through many things. I want you to turn now to to Genesis chapter number 22, and I'll just give you one more example. And this is what I was when I was reading the Christmas story, it impressed upon me. If you turn to Genesis chapter 22, and we'll just start at chapter number 6, and it said, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together, and they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And going down to verse 16, "And he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that is blessed, I will bless thee, and multiply thee, and I will multiply thy seed." And again, too, we see as we've read this, at the time that it happened, I'm sure they didn't know what it was all about as well, but we see the picture again through that lens that this is a picture of God giving His only begotten Son. The gospel message is always hidden in there. God reveals it when He wants. We see in there that He offered His Son, but just the fact that He didn't have to do it, but His heart was full into it, that the Lord said that was fine. What I want to do now is go to James chapter 1, if you can turn to that. We know that God does things in order. He always does.
Yes.
And we know that He has formulas, or He has just the way He does things. We know like certain numbers, like number 7 is a perfect number. And that, I think He does that for us to know about it. We know that the devil, too, he's a copycat, so he also does the very same thing. So I just wanted to show James chapter 1, if you just come down to verse number 14. The devil has a 3-point plan. He has his plan, and this has always been his plan. It says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." If we look at it, we see the 3 points. Every man is tempted first and drawn away. And then when lust is conceived, which is the second point, then it bringeth forth sin and death. Now, if I can get you to just turn to Genesis chapter 3. And the reason I brought this up is because we see it illustrated. We know that this is probably the first time that the devil did that plan, his 3-point plan. So if you're in Genesis chapter 3, I just want to begin at verse number 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And his eyes, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And so fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Now we can see in there, that's exactly the plan. Because you notice most of the time, sin always works around your wants. We know going through life, you have your needs and your wants. He's always... Most of the things that we trip up, and all the shirts I have in my closet of all my bad things, were because I wanted that and I was tempted to do it. We've all been there. It's, he always comes from that point of view. And you see that he presented it, she saw it, mm-hmm. and then she ate it. And he always starts with a great promise and ends up going the other way.
Right.
Okay, now if I can get you to just turn to Ephesians chapter 1. God has a plan for this. Mm. That's the devil's three-point plan. Salvation is the Lord's three-point plan. And if you go to chapter 1 in Ephesians, and just look at chapter 13, and it's what we do when we hear the gospel message. It's our part of it. It says here, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So if you look at this, his plan is that you trusted it first, then you received it, and once you believed, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that plan also, for the first time I've seen that it was worked out, is basically in Luke. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, and I'm not going to be moving around very much more. We'll stay roughly right around here. If you look in it too, that happened. Mary was picked because she found favor in the Lord. And she was going to be the one that was going to bring salvation, which is the Lord, to the world. And you see in here the 3 points, because Mary trusted first what the angel said, just as the 3-point plan I just mentioned. And she was told how it was going to happen, and then she accepted it. And that's from what I've seen, that's the first time that I've seen. So from salvation starting to go against, if you want to say, the devil's plan, okay? So where I want to go from here is, if you look at chapter 1 in Luke, we see it, as I said, actually the first example where the Lamb of God was sacrificed, right? We see now, when we look at it differently, because with that lens, we see that. And so what I did is I looked at this and tried to look at it from a spiritual lens, to kind of see the gospel message being put in here at the same time. And so what I did is I broke it down, and I'm just going to go through it, and I'm going to show where the spiritual part hooks up to it. Okay, so in Luke, going back to Luke chapter 1, it says, well, we see that Mary was brought the good news. And if you look at verse number 30, it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Jesus. Now with us, it's, but as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. And that's John 1:2. And then Mary asks, how? Then Mary says unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And when we ask that question, in John 3, Nicodemus says, how can a man be born again? And then the angel tells Mary how it will happen. So in verse number 35, it says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And God tells us how this will happen with us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. And that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And God tells Mary what will happen. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And God tells us how this will happen with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. And also in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, Christ liveth in me. It says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now we know that Mary has to make a choice. And so what does Mary do? Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And what is our choice? It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the conclusion is, if you go to Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And with us is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." And that's 2 Corinthians 15. What I wanted to do is, when I read that, like I said, in typology or the biblical lens of the Spirit, you can see things in there that's the gospel message. And what I wanted to do was show how it overlaps. And so as I read that, we see them both being played at the same time as I read it to you. And what I wanted to do is just read it again, but this time only from the spiritual side. So if you're looking at Luke 1, this is how it sounds. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How can a man be born again when he is old? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new." And the point I really wanted that struck me was, we see that Mary believed, and so then the power on high came upon her, and Jesus was put inside of her, and so that she gave birth to the Savior. And in essence, that's the same with us. When we decide to, the Holy Spirit comes with inside of us, and Jesus is put inside of us. Except this time, the Savior makes us the new birth, being born again. And that's what struck me, and I just wanted to share that with everybody. And I just want to finish with Luke 1, chapter 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.